hot, humid weather in Miami in August of 1985, is where I met Jesus Garcia.
This is John Mattis, a newly sworn-in Miami public defender who looks more like a young Robert Redford than anyone's idea of a typical public defender. Mattis' very first felony defendant is Jesus Garcia, a Cuban-American who's been charged with possessing a machine gun and a silencer. Now, Jesus has arrived at Mattis' office with a pile of documents in his hands to talk about the case. And what he says won't just change Mattis' life, it'll also change the course of American history.
Mr. Garcia showed up in those cramped offices of the federal defenders. So, as a first-time lawyer, I want to act like I know what I'm doing. And all I wanted to do was figure out what's the defense to having a machine gun and silencer. And he laid out to me that he believed he was shipping arms into Central America on behalf of the CIA. God, I'm rolling my eyes. But there he has all these documents. He says, check it out yourself, check it out yourself. And the very first thing I did as he left, I see these papers and scribblings on notepads, Colonel Douglas Mynarczyk. So I call up Colonel Douglas Mynarczyk, whatever, whoever he was. The phone rings and it's answered, National Security Council, Mynarczyk's office. And I hung it up. I slammed it down. I was like, this is a bad joke. Who has a phone number to a private listing in the White House? And that was the start of a five-year saga that drew me in to something I had no interest in getting involved in. But once I got pulled in, I couldn't get out.
My name is Jack Bryan. I'm a documentary filmmaker and television producer. Generally, my work focuses on the cross-section between true crime, politics, and espionage. I first met John Mattis in 2017 when I interviewed him about his work investigating the 2016 election. After the interview, he told me the story of the first time he got pulled into a political scandal. So when you do the work that I do, a big part of your job is talking to former spies and politicians and to researchers and journalists who cover corruption and international crime. So you end up hearing a bunch of really wild stories about overseas adventures and secret deals, and you know, like anything, you just kind of get used to it after a while. But sitting there at lunch with Mattis, I knew this was the most amazing story I had ever heard. What I didn't realize was that in the years to come, knowing Mattis's story would become essential in explaining the threats to American democracy today. So while I'll be back at the end of this episode, for now, I'd like to hand you off to my fellow producer and our narrator, John Cryer.
Thanks, Jack. I'm John Cryer, and this is Lawyers, Guns, and Money. It's the early 1980s, and Miami is the United States' biggest hub for narcotics transportation from Central and South America. 70% of all the marijuana and cocaine coming into America passes through South Florida. This is the era of the cocaine cowboys.
They call them the cocaine cowboys. Yesterday, they struck busy Dadeland shopping mall shortly after 2, spraying the parking lot with bullets. The Miami-Colombian connection is 80% of a $20 billion annual cocaine business.
The drug trade touches every part of life in Miami.
Sam Smith was a Florida judge until the FBI caught him selling marijuana. In Miami, one-third of the Dade County Homicide Squad is under indictment for protecting a major drug dealer. And the state's top law enforcement officer is wondering
who's running the state, the government or the drug smugglers.
And as drug money pours in, Miami booms.
According to experts at the Organized Crime Bureau of the Dade County Public Safety Department, drug smuggling through South Florida may well be the state's most profitable enterprise.
And with the drugs come guns, making Miami the murder capital of America as well.
The murder rate has shot up 70%. The head of Miami's Police Benevolent Association has warned that the criminal justice system can no longer protect the public.
Now, if you're looking for a rundown of what gangs and cartels were in power at what time, There are a bunch of really good documentaries, books, and films on this topic. Scarface is about Miami during this period. But this story is different. This is the story of what happens when that world of Scarface and cocaine and arms smuggling collides with the White House, and almost takes down a presidency in the process.